It's federal budget day. Let's get down into it. Let's figure out what we need to know. Colton Prehl, CTV national reporter, joining us as he often does to talk about the big national news. Colton, thanks so much for being here today.
Anytime. It's a big day.
So it was just earlier this afternoon that the finance minister stood up in the House of Commons to deliver the budget. So we haven't had a ton of time to digest everything, but let's do the best we can with sort of the first glance at what we're finding out. And as we've been hearing in the news, I mean, there's a few highlights, some stuff on housing, some tax hikes on the rich. There's stuff like that, a heap of debt that's costing us a lot of money. Those are some of the highlights I'm seeing here. But take us through what you've seen.
Yeah, the big one that stands out, of course, is the new spending and the debt implications for that. So let's just start from the top. In this budget, there is just shy of $53 billion of new spending. Now, when you break that down, plus the tax revenue, we are talking a net increase of $39 billion worth of new spending. And what that means is that Chrystia Freeland was able to hold up her promises for this budget. She specifically said this year the deficit wasn't going to go past $40 billion, excuse me, that the debt to GDP ratio would drop, and that it would be 1% of the GDP, the debt. And she was able to do that for this year. But there is a massive caveat, which is that all of the estimates going forward have now changed. So if you look at the federal deficit for 2024-25, it is now slightly higher than it was projected in the fall economic statement in 2023. So at the time, it was $38.4 billion. Now it's $39.8 billion. And that sounds like a small increase on 1 year. But when you jump out to a larger look at things and go to, say, 2028-29, now we're looking at a deficit of $20 billion compared to $18 billion in the 2023 economic statement, $30 billion in 2026 compared to $27 in 2023. And so we're seeing that this new spending is not coming without consequences. It is adding to the federal public debt. And as that debt increases, we are spending more and more money servicing those debt charges, essentially paying interest on the debt. And as anyone can tell you, interest has skyrocketed. And so the impact of that means we are now paying an astonishing amount on our public debt charges. Last year, Canada paid $47.2 billion. Next year, it's going to be $54 billion. And by 2028-29, it'll be $64.3 billion, up just about $4 billion compared to the projections from this past fall. This is actually stuff where it starts to impact what our government can do. And while all of this is a lot of numbers, and it's very heavy and meaty, to give you context, that means that Canada is going to be spending more money paying down its debt, paying interest on the debt that it's accrued, than it is spending on health care or on equalization payments to the provinces.
Wow, that does put it into perspective. So the federal government is going to be spending more on just servicing all of this debt we're piling up than we do on health care.
Absolutely.
In a year. That's remarkable. I don't know how I feel about that. And I guess that's a combination of adding to the debt, of course, but also the interest rates being so much higher. Are those the two things that have caused that situation?
Interest rates was absolutely the biggest reason you're seeing these jumps as dramatic as they are. $2 billion jumps even just in next year compared to its projected numbers from the fall. That's down mostly to interest rates. But as you start to get deeper into 2028-29, that's when you see the impact, not just of interest rates, but also of an increased debt in general and the carryover impact of that. Because, you know, anyone with a mortgage can tell you that the higher that number is, the more you're going to be paying on interest compared to actually bringing down the amount owed.
Now, we have seen the government attempt to raise a bit more money to offset some of that spending, right?
There are attempts to pay for it, and there certainly are included in this budget. You can look at, for example, increased capital gains taxes is one thing that's being proposed. The government says it's going to bring in $19 billion. Now, there are some questions over that, but for the moment, let's just take their math as is. That is one way they're planning to pay down some of this debt. But yes, a lot of this is just new spending that is going to be tacked onto those budgets and increasing that debt as we pass forward into time.
The federal budget came down this afternoon. We're getting a first glance with CTV national reporter Colton Prail, who's following the story in Ottawa, and he's joining us on the phone line here. Okay, you kind of gave us an overview of some of the big picture numbers before the break, but now I kind of want to get into some of what we're getting for all of that money. We've heard about how the deficits are going to be growing. The debt servicing costs are a huge part of the story today, spending as much or more than we do on health care. Now on debt servicing, thanks to new expenses plus the interest rates being so much higher. So that's sort of a situation you sketched out there for us before. But for all of that new spending, what are we getting? So what was announced today?
Housing is the biggest one. Now, a lot of that was announced prior to the budget, so I won't go too in-depth in that aspect of things. But, of course, there's loan money for rental constructions, and there's tons of money in renter protections and in improving construction builds themselves. But we also learned that there's going to be a push to build more homes on public lands. And so to enable Canada Post, for example, to prioritize leasing or divestment of some of their properties that have high potential for housing. Same thing with some defense properties as well. There's $1 billion over the next 10 years to help the Public Services and Procurement Canada reduce its office portfolio by 50%, get some of those offices out, and potentially convert them to land. In general, reducing federal office footprint is expected to make government about $4 billion, and then that land could potentially be used for housing. It could also just add to downtown. Interestingly, they're considering a new tax on residentially zoned vacant land, which is a really unique idea that could incentivize more builds. There is a lot of questions on how exactly they would be able to do that and manage to do that, especially because so much of that does fall under municipal zoning laws. But a really interesting idea there on the housing side of things. So lots of money going towards housing, some interesting new developments that we hadn't heard about included in this budget. But there are also some big-ticket items that are brand new. So PharmaCare, obviously that was a big thing with the NDP. We're finally getting a little bit of money put with that, $1.5 billion over the next 5 years. That's going to start as of 2024-25 fiscal year. The Canada Disability Benefit, this is something the Liberals have promised for years, never attached any money to. Finally, we've got $6 billion for the next 6 years, and Canadians who are eligible will start getting that money in July of 2025. If you're a small business, this is a big one. The Canada Carbon Rebate for Small Businesses, it was teased in November that they were going to give out $2.5 billion to small businesses at some point, money that was accrued through the carbon tax. This is now going to start going out to small and medium-sized businesses, and it's going to return the fuel charge proceeds from 2019 all the way through to 2023-24. So some really helpful finances there for small businesses. It's not going to have an amazing impact. You know, this isn't going to suddenly provide the money that could really change productivity in Canada dramatically, but it is money that a number of businesses were looking for, and it's going to go out to about 600,000 or so small businesses. They need 499 or fewer employees to qualify for that. So some helpful new money on some things that Canada was expecting or had this government has talked about funding but hadn't put any funding actually to it. We know that they're going to put about $50 million on the digital services tax. That's the online harms bill. That's in there. The big one, though, is an increase on capital gains. We talked about it a little bit there. $19 billion they think this is going to make them. And effectively what it is if you are selling, think about a property, for example, something that you can make capital gains on. Now, it couldn't be your primary residence, but if you had an investment property or a cottage or something, if you sell that right now, you're only taxed on about 50% of that. So if you sold a home for $100,000, you'd only be taxed on $50,000. That's being proposed to increase to two-thirds. And so you'd be suddenly taxed on this significantly more. Now, it's worth noting that those are only on capital gains of $250,000 or more for individuals themselves. So the government estimates this is only going to affect about 40,000 Canadians annually or so. They think it's going to bring in $19 billion over 5 years. There are some economic questions and concerns because this so typically is, it's essentially a wealth tax. And so because it typically impacts the very, very highest earners, their money is a little more liquid and they might be able to move some of these assets to not be impacted by it. So there are some questions if that $19 billion will actually come to fruition or not. But that is one element of this that's new that the government thinks is going to help them a little bit with that debt.
Gotcha. This isn't like us regular folk, selling some stock and making a few hundred dollars of income in a year or something.
$150,000 worth of stocks that you're selling, yeah, you're going to have to pay higher taxes on it. But if you don't, and most Canadians don't, this isn't going to have an impact on you. Now, if you own a small business and you're selling that small business, this is going to have an impact. It will have a slightly higher impact. There's some small changes to the exclusionary amount, for example, where it's $1 million to $1.25 million. And so maybe it saves you about $20,000, $30,000 when you're selling your small business. But that's about it.
Okay, we're talking about the federal budget, what we learned here, and some of what you've talked about there, for instance, the housing announcements, they had rolled out a lot of that news ahead of time. We kind of knew a lot of that stuff was coming. Now we see it in the budget, and we see how it's getting funded and how much it's costing, but we kind of knew that was coming. Were there any other surprises or things that we hadn't had pre-announced that we haven't talked about yet?
I think we covered most of the really big stuff. As I go through my notes here very, very quickly, This was the majority of it. The PharmaCare $1.5 billion, the Canada Disability Benefit, those were things that were hinted at that could potentially be in this that we didn't know about and that were new today. The only other aspect of this that I would say is new, and I touched on it a little bit, is actually officially enacting that digital services tax, which will start in the 2024. So they're backdating a little bit, and it's supposed to bring in about $5.9 billion over 5 years, and this is a tax that basically ensures that digital businesses that monetize data and content of Canadian users are paying to monetize that data.
One other thing I was going to mention is the capital gains changes and trying to get a bit more money out of the rich is one of the ways the federal government is trying to recoup some of the money, or I guess, balance off some of the spending they're doing. Another thing seemed to be that they're going to be upping the amount of money they collect from tobacco sales and vaping sales. Was that another thing? So if you're a smoker out there, you're going to be helping to pay for all this.
Absolutely, you are. This is something that they've hinted at for a while as well, just as a result of the increased healthcare burden that comes with consumption of those products. They have been hinting that there could be additional taxes as a result of, or to offset, I should say, those additional costs.
Yeah, it was an additional $4 per carton of 200 cigarettes. That was the amount that I saw referenced there. And then vaping excise duties will be increasing as well. So there you go. I think that's about as much as my brain can handle for now. I think that gives us a good sense of roughly what's happening here. I guess the next thing to watch now is how do the opposition parties respond to this? What do they have to say? We'll follow the reaction next.
So far, I mean, the NDP are calling for a little more investment in Indigenous housing. The big one, I'm sure, as you can imagine from Conservatives, though, is the inflationary concerns. More spending, more debts, more debt charges. Pierre Poilievre incensed about that.
Well, Colton Prale, CTV National News, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for this. Great effort trying to get through it all. It's like I said, a huge document. We've only had it for a few hours, but there's an overview, and we'll continue to digest the news as time goes on. Thanks.
Anytime.